The University of Kansas Health System is proud to be the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Current. From youth athletes to the pros, we put player care first to turn their dreams into reality. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/kccurrent.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
So are you ready?
Oh, I am so ready. I have the envelope, guys.
Okay.
All right. The Central Cities. First up, we have Kansas City.
Wow, congratulations. 7 years they've been waiting for this moment.
Kansas City, we got the World Cup. The city is going to show out in 2026. We can't wait to welcome fans from across the globe to the heart of America and to the world's loudest stadium. Let's go.
Inbound to Boston, final seconds tick off. The Golden State Warriors back on top of the NBA once more. Four championships in 8 years. They win three straight to close out the Celtics in six games. The Warriors are the 2022 NBA champs. They beat Boston 103-90 in game six.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Friday, June 17th, 2022. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan with Marco Marquez. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to Stan Weber coming up here in a little bit. We'll also have the weather with Jeff Penner. It's Gary Lezak's in Milwaukee, where he injured his hamstring on a walk. So he's on the shelf right now. We'll also talk to, was there a resolution on 805?
Like,
is he gonna, there's, that's not gonna happen if it's on the phone.
Okay, I'll let him know.
Yeah, that's,
all right.
You had to. Sometimes I think Marco needs to be told more than once. The phone, that's the kind of guest that's a no good on the phone. You got to be, you know.
And you can't see his tattoos if he's on the phone.
The showing of the tattoos must be in person. It's a long Stanley Cup series. We can catch up with Shane Summers at some point in the series, right? Because I feel like at 8:05, we probably need to let Nate take a couple more victory laps with the World Cup.
I'm surprised he didn't bring the flag in with him today.
Right, that's exactly right. Shane Summers, if you're out there to appear on the show, you must be in studio so we could see you, so we could touch you, so we could connect with you and, you know, take your time with, taking your child to camp. You don't need to call into the show. So, we'll push Shane Summers we'll knock him into next week. Mike McFarland will be with us at, now he can be on the phone because that's Mike McFarland. Mike McFarland will join us at 8:30. And then Tim Grunhard, who apparently is only on the phone with us and is in person with every other show. he'll be somewhere. We know that. But it won't be here. I saw him in studio yesterday. And so what did he say he is? Is he with Shane Summers? Dropping off Shane's daughter at camp or what?
No, he's out golfing.
That's just in Kansas City.
He has a member tournament at Wolf Creek.
There we go. So is he going to be on the whole hour? Would you say?
Yes.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, he can be with us.
Oh, that's wonderful. So we'll talk to Tim Grunhard in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll spend the next segment. I'm going to go through plenty of Chiefs sound because Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes both spoke yesterday after practice, the final day of mandatory minicamp. You heard last night right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Golden State Warriors, they close out and the series. They close out the Boston Celtics, much to my satisfaction, in Boston, which makes it even better because I hope Boston fans had a miserable walk to their car like I did after the AFC Championship game when the Chiefs lost to the Patriots in overtime. So it probably is in no way the same, but at least part of me can believe there was someone that upset walking with their head down, being heckled by fans of the opposing team. But that was a fun game to watch if you were rooting against the Celtics and rooting for Steph Curry to win his first NBA Finals MVP, which he did. And there was a stretch in that game where he knocked down a couple of threes, and it was just it was beautiful. And I'm in basketball mode right now because I'm putting together a playbook because, of course, I've been promoted to head coach at St. Gabe's for eighth grade. And Marco will probably need to have me on the show to talk about that at some point because we're trying to decide. I'm trying to decide what offense I want to install, make some changes. Am I putting in Villanova's motion offense? I don't know. A lot there. And so in between working on the playbook, which I was doing last night, which is I got issues. Watching the NBA Finals and watching Steph Curry, man, oh, man. If you are a basketball fan and you can't appreciate that and you can't appreciate the way they play basketball, I don't know what to tell you. But the Warriors beat the Celtics 103-90, and they win the NBA Finals. Number four for the Warriors and Steph Curry, and number one as far as the NBA Finals MVP for one of the greatest shooters in NBA history.
The greatest.
So... Well, I'll say one of them. I'm not, you know.
You don't think he's the greatest?
I don't know. I didn't. There's people that played basketball that I never saw, and so I don't know.
Daddy can shoot like him.
Who knows? I have no idea. I don't make these. You know, like at one point you said Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback of all time, and then Patrick Mahomes came along, and so now you have to stick to your Aaron Rodgers. Do you want to do that?
I think I said he was gonna be, and I was wrong.
You said he was. Yeah, oh, is he gonna be?
No.
Then stick with that one. I just put one up. I like to give myself some wiggle room. I don't know.
I respect that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that's pretty clear. There's no argument there. He's one of the greatest shooters of all time. If you say he's the greatest, there could be an argument there, and okay. I don't know.
I hear you.
Not worthy of a debate to me, but sure. I think he's clearly one of the greatest shooters of all time.
Incredible.
If you think he's the best, then good. It's wonderful. But he was terrific last night, so congrats to the Warriors. And then, of course, the big story, the finale of the final last night. The big story, of course, for many a soccer fan, many a Kansas Cityan, was yesterday Kansas City being selected. So, Nate, take us through everything that happened at Power and Light.
Oh, man. It was one of those unforgettable days, and I will struggle not to get a little emotional about it, but I was spending a lot of time thinking about all this stuff last night. And, you know, you and I have been on stage in the Power and Light District or on hand at some incredibly unforgettable moments in Kansas City sports history together. And that's one of the things that's been so cool about getting to work with you and work for this radio station for all that time, is just getting to be there for all these things. And this one was one of those moments. I mean, this is to me one of the most significant moments in the history of Kansas City. And I'm sure some people might roll their eyes at that, but I think that when in 4 years from now, when it comes, I think
Marco just rolled his eyes at that.
Well, you son of a gun. He was down there with us celebrating.
He still roll his eyes.
That's true. But so, yeah, so we got down there. I got down there at about 3 o'clock, and it's funny. You know, we were talking yesterday about how many people are going to show up for this thing. I mean, this is a – go ahead.
Much to my credit, I told you that there was no chance Kansas City wouldn't be selected.
You did.
And then I told you, yes, this thing's going to be filled tomorrow.
You did.
Why is there any question about this?
You did. You said all that.
Right. And why was there any question about that?
I don't know. I mean, I always have a tough time trying to predict or gauge like what kind of turnout we're going to get at an event in the Power and Light District, because you're not selling tickets, so you don't know.
Does anyone not realize how much Kansas City loves Kansas City?
I mean, that right? That's 100% right.
But yeah, it's like when Kansas City has a chance to go celebrate Kansas City, and there's a chance something great's going to happen for Kansas City.
Yeah,
that place could be filled.
And that's why we're here right now. That's why we're at Market 31. And every other market that got a World Cup bid's a top 14 media market in this country, and we got one too. Because
that's why I kept hearing you say, "We don't know. Yeah. I don't know how many people are going to show up." Like,
yeah.
Do you know where you are?
So our former intern Blake McFarlane, who works at Sporting Kansas City, was the one that kept telling me, "Hey, we're going to need you on stage to do something." And other people that were putting the event on were like, "Well, we don't know. We don't know how many people are going to get here." So when I got there at like 3 o'clock, we were talking through what we thought was going to happen. And there was a little debate going on by some of the people standing around, and a couple people were like, "I think we'll get about 1,000 people here."
I want names so bad. I'm not going to make you, but in the commercial break, I want names.
I don't think most of them were people that you would know, but that, you know, they were.
Oh, I'll get to know them.
Yeah. And then Blake said, "I think we're going to get 2,000-3,000 people here." And that everybody thought was really aggressive on Blake's part. And then
Blake knows.
By the time 4 o'clock rolled around, I don't know how many people were in there, but the place was full. It was thousands, not just two or three. And it's exactly what you said. And I think you'll like this story in particular. One of the people I saw, I sent you a picture of our buddy, Don Proctor, right? Don Proctor, for people that don't know, has been a camera man in this town for decades. I mean, he was working in sports in Kansas City well before me and Steven. And he's, anytime I show up at like Chiefs training camp or anything, what does he always say to me? He likes to tease me in front of everybody. "Oh, what did you think? There was a soccer game up here? Is that why you're here?"
That's usually when I'm up there. He goes, "Where's Nate? Why don't you tell him there's a soccer game that's going to break out?"
Yeah. So he's always giving me a hard time about, you know, being a soccer guy and all that stuff. And he's not a soccer guy. And he was there yesterday and he wasn't working. And I said, "Hey, Donnie, you know," he said, "Hey, Nate, what's up?" I said, "Are you working?" He said, "Nope." And I said, "You're here for a soccer event?" And he looked at me and he said, "I'm here for Kansas City." And I just thought, that's it right there. There's people like, there's a decent number of people like me that love soccer. And there were a lot of them down there that were getting emotional because they love soccer so much. And this is going to be the biggest moment that they could have ever imagined happening. But like you said, people in Kansas City love this city. And the reason that we're getting a World Cup here when no other city that's even close when it comes to our media market got awarded these World Cup games is because of this like collective pride and effort that everybody that had anything to do with this bid, and I mean everybody, like people that just showed up, you know, to watch parties and things like that, that collective civic pride is why this is going to happen. And the landscape of Kansas City will never be the same. This is the type of thing that will change the landscape of Kansas City for decades and for the rest of our lives, me and you, you know. And it was really, really cool to just get to witness it and celebrate it with so many people that cared a lot about it. So it was wonderful. I was nervous, man.
Why?
Well, it's like you think you know, and everybody's telling you you're going to get it. But I was up on the stage getting everybody hyped up and, you know, "Hey, Kansas City, we're going to go crazy if we get this thing," and blah, blah, blah. And then they name all the Western cities and it's not us. And there was just a little bit of like, I started looking around and like people that if they did know, they wouldn't have been nervous at all. And they were nervous, you know? And so then when they said Kansas City, just all heck broke loose. And it was just a party the rest of the night. It was pretty cool.
Come on, Booby. You're on the stage. You're a big star. You had it in the bag.
I don't know what that's from.
That is my impression of Robert Evans from The Offer last night.
Oh, all right.
Here's what, let me just give you a little behind the scenes. I've been talking like him around the house now for several weeks, and my wife has had it. So now she said, why don't you just do it on the radio and quit doing it at home? I said, okay, booby. Start doing it with Nate and tell him he's the star. He's on the big stage.
Head in the bag.
Head in the bag. The Godfather, best picture. You call your shots now in Hollywood and tell him Bob Evans said so. Yeah. The very small group of people that watch The Offer get that. And you know what? That's a pretty crappy impression.
I feel like it's a really good one. I feel like you probably nailed that.
That's right, booby. Because you know what a star is, don't you? We'll take a break back after this on WHB. Marco, if you'd like a treat later on, I have a bunch of piñata candy in my bag in here. If you have a sweet tooth, very sugary.
That's what you were reaching for in the backpack?
No, I was looking for something else, but I was reminded that I have a bunch of piñata candy in here. So, you like a sucker? Yeah.
Let's see. Does it have chili on it?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
No.
What kind of sucker? What good? Where'd you knock a piñata? Where'd you get piñata candy?
When I go to, they have a candy jar when I go to physical therapy. And I commented how much I like the piñata candy. And so I think, this, you know, I'm not saying it's for me, but I commented and there was more. So I grabbed a handful after my appointments. And so for times like this, so I could offer you a treat. See? And I'll see you next commercial break. How about that? We'll have Stan Weber coming up here in a little bit. What was it like for you down there, Marco? You were part of the festivities at P&L yesterday.
It was a lot of fun. When the announcement was on the... Well, first of all, it was just cool to be down in P&L for soccer again because having gone down to the watch parties for men's and women's World Cup games in the past, it was just... Like you said, you had no doubt Kansas City was going to step out for the city and come out and support, and they did. A lot of high-profile people down there watching as well. It was cool to people watch and... take it all in. And I thought what they really stood out was when they announced Kansas City, they didn't even get to fully say Kansas before all of P&L had erupted. It was Can and then mayhem after that.
Did you grab the person next to you and kiss them?
No.
Was it that much joy and elation?
No.
Could you have? See, I mean, just, you know.
No, I could. I,
come here. Nothing.
Nothing like that. No, but.
Who was the person next to you? I mean, did you think about it?
Pretty sure it was one of our interns.
Oh, no, you better not.
Yeah, stay clear of that.
So it was a fun. I'm just curious because, you know, Nate's perspective is on stage. You were out there. Or were you in the, you know, the VIP area? Or were you out there?
No, I was on the side stage. Yeah,
so you were,
I wasn't amongst the crowd, I guess.
You weren't really in the crowd either, huh? Well, good for you. I'm glad you were down there to enjoy that.
So I went out into the crowd and I high-fived just about every person in the P&L.
Is that right?
Yeah. It was great.
Was it willing on their end?
Most people. There were a few people that seemed like a little bit like, what are you doing, man? Leave us alone. But most people, no. Almost everybody. Everybody was just so happy.
Who else was there?
In terms of like dignitaries and all that stuff?
You know, I mean, just don't say, you know, John from Olathe. Yeah. I mean, for people that they're listening, anyone they might recognize.
I remember early on, I looked out in the crowd and Frank White was there.
Uh-huh. See, people know Frank White. That's a good one.
He's a legendary Kansas Cityan.
Did he have gold gloves on?
No, he didn't have any gold gloves on. He had a very nice suit on, and I thought, man, that must be very hot.
Sure.
Clark Hunt was there. The Clarks.
See, now you're. This is people. That's people. That's who people. Know who that is.
Yeah.
There.
The Clarks were there.
The Clark family.
So,
the Clark family. Yeah. Was the Clark family there?
I don't know if the whole Clark family was there, but Clark was there for sure.
Right.
And then Cliff and Bonnie Illig and Mike Illig and his wife were there. Mark Donovan from the Kansas City Chiefs.
About dignitaries.
Yeah, yeah. Quentin Lucas was there. Kathy Nelson and Catherine Holland, who we had on the show here recently, they were there celebrating, of course. The lieutenant governor from Missouri was there. I'm sorry, I don't remember his name. I don't know my politics too well.
What's his name?
Don't know. Trying to think who else I saw, but that was Peter Vermees was there. Benny Failhaber was there. I know he went on with.
And I asked you if you thought Peter would be there, and you were skeptical about that. I said,
he's always working, you know? He's always working.
Yeah, but I mean, if anyone's going to care about that, wouldn't it be him?
You would think, yeah, and he looked very happy. I mean, he played in the World Cup.
He was there.
Yeah, yeah, he was there. And Benny Failhaber was there. Benny played in a World Cup. So, yeah, it was a lot of
people. That's a pretty good group right there.
Yeah, right? And he smiled a little bit.
Did
he still
you
looked
hug him?
He looked very serious. I think I might have hugged him.
Did he hug back?
He gave me like the slap on the back type.
Because I go to hug my dad. Yeah. My dad does this.
He recoils a little bit.
Well, he leans his head back, and he puts his arms down. And he just he kind of just go.
Yeah.
He just gives up. There's no pushback. But there's also no embrace.
Yeah.
He tries to leave places. Mm-hmm. Like he came to the softball game, and I, all right, we're leaving. And it's never after the game's over.
Right.
It's always,
the traffic.
And I'm like, there's no traffic here. You could stay to the end, and there's no resistance.
Right.
I got to go. We got to go find something to eat. Like he's got
to
go hunt for it.
Yes, Christ.
Like there's a chance they might not.
Gotta rummage around.
Barry Rhodes is a little iffy nowadays. And so I said, well, come here. And now I'm making a point because I know it makes him uncomfortable. And I grab him, and he does, if you see him,
he just kind of goes limp.
Right. And then I'll grab him and give him a kiss on the cheek.
Oh, I bet she loves that.
No.
I didn't kiss Peter Vermees
on
the cheek.
And so I feel like that could be what Peter Vermees would do if you tried to hug him. He just might. All right, go ahead. Let's go. They're letting you, but they're not taking part in it.
Well, it was kind of funny because I was drenched in sweat by the time the announcement came out. It was sweat. Because it was hot, right, Marco? I mean, I think, heat index of 104 whatever. Yeah.
Well, I heard the high yesterday was 124 degrees.
Wow, I mean, that is hot.
Which I feel like that's a record. And trust me, that's not official.
Right.
I think that's just what was in my mind. Yeah. But to me, we'll count that as a Border Patrol high.
Well, that's what it felt like with thousands of people packed in there and the sun beaming down.
Did you drink? That's not what you're supposed to do when it's that hot.
You're not supposed to hydrate?
Not with whiskey.
Well, says you. Kids, you are not supposed to hydrate with alcohol. You're supposed to hydrate with water.
Did you smoke cigars?
I did. I smoked a cigar last night.
Should you be doing that?
Well, yeah. Heck yeah.
You don't come off to me as a cigar smoker.
Watching me try to light that cigar was incredibly comical.
You give me the vibe of like a kid trying to smoke grandpa's cigar.
Yes. I almost gave me the cutter.
Yeah.
And I almost cut the wrong end.
Right.
And they're like, no, not that side. And I was like, oh, okay. Because I'm not a big smoker.
Were you inhaling?
You're not really supposed to fully inhale a cigar, right? Aren't you supposed to kind of get just a little bit in there?
If you're a man, you inhale.
Well, I'm not a man. Right. I'm a child.
Were you actively seeking, like, hey, I'd like to have a cigar now? Or did someone offer you one? Or did you say,
I think I can say this. We were celebrating in no other pub.
Why would you not be able to say it? Cigars aren't illegal.
Well, I don't know. So we were celebrating in another pub, and a couple guys, and I was hugging everybody.
At what point is this in the evening?
I don't know, maybe 6:30, maybe 7.
So you're lathered up by now.
I probably had a drink or two.
You're celebrating.
Yeah, and
you're celebrating. And so at what point do you say, what I need now is a cigar?
Well, I didn't say that, but what happened was one of the guys at Sporting, Chad Reynolds, great guy who's worked his butt off on this bid for a long, long time.
Chad Reynolds.
And we were hugging each other and celebrating and stuff, and he said, hey, so Sporting has some offices down in the Crossroads. That's where their offices are. And he said, there's a crew of people that are having they're having a cocktail up on top of on the roof, and they're celebrating.
Oh,
we should go down there. Yeah. I've never been to the rooftop of this place.
I've been there.
Well, I bet you have. But so I was like, well, I was thinking at first
I have not been there.
I didn't even realize there was space up there.
I've been there.
Well,
you go down there.
So I go down there and everybody's, you know, hey, they're celebrating and
were they like, good, Nate's here? Like, hey, who told him about this?
Well, I think that they probably just were too busy celebrating to care one way or another.
So
if I
you
was
get
there.
There,
yeah,
and you're in no way have you answered the cigar question.
So somebody they were smoking cigars and somebody said, you want a cigar? And I
who
don't
said that.
Dan Lawley.
Oh, Dan Lawley had a cigar.
Yeah, and said, Chief Operating Officer of Sporting Kansas
City. That's what
City.
I like to hear. Yeah. This is let me tell you. This is the radio.
Yeah,
and this is story time. This I'm trying. Like yesterday, I was accused of being.
You want me to really tell a story? I'll tell
I'm
this.
Trying.
Okay,
I'm trying to get details. The listeners driving like I don't know what he did.
So
Dan Lawley gives you a cigar.
Yeah, and I'm thinking to myself when they said they were going to go to this thing, I should probably get home. And then I thought, you know
why
what?
Why did you say that?
Well, because we got a morning show to do, and you know, it's...
When has that ever stopped you?
Yeah, well...
the French
that's a great
champagne.
Point. But
always been so
I thought, oh, yeah, I'll just go celebrate the next time we get the World Cup in Kansas City, right? This is a once-in-a-lifetime thing.
Yeah, you got that line from me yesterday.
And so, yep.
Yeah, what was that?
You don't think I listen to you, but sometimes
I
actually do.
No, it just registers the next day. So you go down there and you make the decision like I'm gonna go and sell it. I want to be happy with everyone. Everyone's very happy and celebrating. I love soccer. I love Kansas City. Let me extend my day.
And so I get up there and I don't want to leave anybody out, but like you know a lot of the people that work in the front office for Sporting Kansas City that have worked really really hard on this for years and years and years and the mayor and. Kathy Nelson and Catherine Holland. And,
tears of joy, probably.
Oh, man. It was just everybody was hugging each other, and they were so excited. And look, you get up there, and you can see the Western Auto Building.
Right.
You can see all of downtown. The sun was setting, and it was beautiful in this beautiful city that I love so much.
And you tried
it just looks beautiful at night like that.
Tried to cut the wrong end off.
And I tried to cut the wrong end of the cigar. And they're like, no, that's not it. And I said, here, why don't you go ahead and light this?
Right.
Greg Allen, who works at Sporting Kansas City, Director of Revenue.
I bet it was a good cigar too.
I think so.
do you have any idea what it was?
I can't tell you the last time I had a cigar.
Was it indeed tobacco in the cigar?
I think so.
Yeah.
And they lit
it
the cigar
one of these
for me. And
Snoop Dogg cigars, was it?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. It was a. Everything was legal there.
This is an interview.
But it was one of those things, and I did a toast. You'll be happy to know. Since I'm not really
expect,
much of a talker.
yeah. I would expect nothing less.
And at one point, Jake Green was like, everybody might want to take a seat here. Nate's going to be talking for a second.
And that's not the former Vikings wide receiver.
No, that's the president and CEO of Sporting Kansas City
who
has had a fundamental role in changing the landscape of sports in Kansas City.
I saw him at a charity event, but he never speaks to me.
Oh, is that right?
So I thought maybe, he must not like Nate, so he doesn't speak to me because
that's
of
that's very
my,
possible. Guilt by association.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's Nate's co-host. I'm not talking to him. So
for me as a nobody from Kansas City, Kansas, I didn't have any connections in this town. I just was a big sports fan that loved big sports moments.
Super late to puberty.
Late to puberty. Yes. Just wanting a girl to acknowledge my presence through most of college.
Now look at you.
I told him this, to be in the presence of these people who Not, and I'm not one of them. I don't feel like I deserve
much. Oh, you are
much
one of them. You just don't realize it.
To be in the presence of these people who worked so hard to make something truly historic happen in our city that they'll make documentaries about someday was not lost on me. And that was a really, really powerful and emotional night. It was really cool. And I'm so proud to get to just say I know that know those people, you know, because they did unbelievable work to do something for our city.
I told you, Booby, you're a star now. This is your town.
All right, go to Brent.
You make all the deals. They want you. You're a star. Back into this on WHB. This is a great song. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Freaky Friday, June 17th, 2022. Kansas City celebrates after being selected as a World Cup site for 2026 NFL draft coming up next year. We got the Elite Eight and Sweet 16 and Elite Eight next year too, right?
I think that's
Nate,
right.
Nate is not sure. Neither
not
am I,
positive.
But whatever. So many great things happening. We have Stan Weber in studio. And on top of that, we have a very... Marco describes him as a surprise guest that wanted to call in real quick. Hello, sir. What's your name?
Well, it's not your father. St. John. Okay.
So. Based on your actions in the 70s, you could be. I can tell you that. Listen here.
I could be your grandfather, as a matter of fact.
Have you applied any of the CBD American Shaman topical creams this morning to get your
all parts of my body
to get
all
those old bones parts. Going? Hmm?
All parts of my body.
Say
all
hello
parts.
To Stan Weber, would you, Frank Bull?
Hello there, Mr. Weber. How's my good friend?
Oh, doing great. Good to hear your voice, Frank.
Good. And I don't mean to interrupt your segment here. Sure.
No, that's perfectly fine. It's great to hear from you.
I know Nate is going crazy, and for once in his life, St. John is participating in soccer talk this morning. So
that's
really a good thing. It's usually just Nate, you know, start talking soccer, and it's Nate. I just want to let everybody know, and I know basically maybe everybody does know this, but this doesn't happen without Lamar Hunt. Back in 1966, watching the World Cup final between England and West Germany, saw the incredible enthusiasm of people around the world about their countries and decided to bring soccer to the United States for all practical purposes. He and a bunch of other owners formed the North American Soccer League, the NASL, and then in 1970 they signed Pelé to New York Cosmos. And Pelé was the most well-known soccer player in the world at that time, and had just won his third World Cup, he played for Brazil and just had won his third World Cup, and it just sort of took off from there. And I just wanted to give Lamar Hunt a shout out for that. And then number two, Kathy Nelson is a treasure for this city, just an absolute treasure. I work with her at Channel 4. She still is mad at me because I used to scream at her all the time because she used to work at Chiron's. And she made a mistake one night. I go, don't you ever do that again.
Wow.
And she's never let me forget that. So she is just a shining light for this city, being the smallest market to get this. Just look at that map. If you go back and just look at that map and look at the other cities involved in this. And then here we are right in the middle of the country standing all by ourselves. Is, you know, Kansas City, and I think as the World Cup committee said, no one wanted this more than you. So I congratulate the city, Kathy Nelson, and always keep in the back of your mind Lamar Hunt, who brought his love for soccer and brought it to this country, and just it exploded from there. So that was no small feat at that time because we didn't.
Another reason I think, Frank, is you know.
Yep.
In your 75th year, you're making magic happen in Kansas
That's
City,
right.
My friend.
Yeah, absolutely, my friend.
Hey, Frank, thanks for admitting that you listen to the show. We appreciate that.
I do.
You going to go run 42 miles now or something?
No, I'm actually going out to Lee's Summit to play in a charity golf tournament. Bobby Dernier's Raytown South.
Oh, nice.
To charity golf tournament this morning. So, but I do, you know, I listen. Who are you trying to kiss?
Frank, I love you.
I love you guys. I love Kansas City, and it's just it's a fantastic time, and I hope I'm still here in 4 years to watch a game.
You'll be here than me, so trust that. Frank,
right, boys,
thank
love you.
You.
That's, all right, Stan, see you, my friend.
Okay, Frank, thanks for calling in.
And look, unplanned, you know, when a VIP, when a dignitary like Frank Bowl calls in, unannounced, it says, put me on the air. You put him on the air, Steve.
Yep.
You put him on, absolutely.
And he has the great historical perspective.
Right. I'm glad he said that, though. I'm glad he mentioned, you know, Lamar Hunt, and that's where it all started.
Absolutely. I mean, Lamar Hunt started the AFL, and now you hear a little bit more about how he brought world-class soccer into this area and wanted to be a part of it. He was also a part owner of the Chicago Bulls in the NBA. It doesn't get talked about a lot, so he did a lot to create excitement around sports, and you know, Frank has a great perspective on this, being around Kansas City a long time and then also knowing the history of it. So yeah, that was great input. And I just have to say, you know, Kathy Nelson is a superstar, but I'm not talking about at her job. She's just that kind of great person. I worked at her at Metro Sports, which kind of started about the same time 810 did. Both of those entities kicked it into gear about the same time, and I started coming on 810, and I was on the fourth show ever. Metro Sports started with a 6 o'clock show, I think it was, from 6 to 7 to kind of cover sports. And I was on the fourth one ever and just stayed working with them for all the years that they were really clicking. And Kathy Nelson was one of the executives there. I didn't know she worked at Channel 4 before that. I mean, it seems like she knows everybody. But I also know her in the business community and what she's doing with civic leaders and things like that. And so she's just done a super job. Now she's been given a title of president of another civic organization, not just the Kansas City Sports Commission. Everything that she's associated with has turned into first class. She works so well with people. But it's because she's so humble, so down to earth, so real, so sincere. And I'm, you know, away from all of her official duties, just being her friend, she used to live really close to me. And one day she was shooting baskets outside with some of my kids. And all of a sudden, a convertible pulls up and stops. And, hey, it's Kathy. And we sat out there and talked for like a half hour, her and her husband. And she, you know, lived not very far from me at that time. But it's always great to see Kathy. Congratulations. She's a central point in putting this all together, working so hard for many, many things. I mean, she is just killing it, like having the volleyball national championships here in Kansas City. And the Big 12 just signed up for 2 more years of the Big 12 basketball tournament being here. All those things can't be taken for granted. A lot of people work. There's a lot of money flowing out to get this stuff done. But her job is to get people behind it and to support it. I mean, Quentin Lucas said that Kansas City, I don't know, it wasn't put in the proper context, but he says you're going to have to pay $125 million to get this World Cup here. I don't know who's all paying for that, but Kathy Nelson has got to get people excited enough to make that kind of commitment to get things done. And she does it by just telling people the truth. It's so awesome when you can talk about all the slick people in the world getting it done, but Kathy's like, no, I'm going to tell you the truth, and let's talk about why it works, why we should work together. And we have a state line in the middle here that causes conflicts, different governments, different states, all these things. And yet she sits there. When she's in the room, you're going like, we're not on opposite teams. We're all together. So great job, Kathy Nelson. And I'm glad Frank brought her up, because that's where I would start on this whole thing as well.
And Kathy Nelson also supports a very select and proud group of people that have been screamed at by Frank Bull. I too am in that group, and I'm...
I haven't been yelled at. I'm missing out. Oh, does Frank need to yell at me?
Maybe. It's actually invigorating.
Right. Does that mean he doesn't really like me? I mean, I thought we get along really well. I work with his son, but he hasn't yelled at me.
It means that I know every button to push with Frank, and Frank responds with anger. We will take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Stan Weber, thank you so much for joining us. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to play back a little bit of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. And we'll get Stan Weber's reaction to some of the things that were said out at Arrowhead after the final day of mandatory minicamp, which now is in the books. And so now we wait before long, right around the corner, be heading to St. Joe to cover Chiefs training camp, which should be very, very exciting. But, Stan, the mandatory minicamp is come and gone. I know that you've been paying attention. Something tells me you pay attention to anything with going on with the NFL, right?
Yes, a little bit.
And so, you know, obviously, Orlando Brown, that's one of the biggest stories, because we're going to find out sooner than later whether or not they're able to agree to a long-term deal. And so I'll just start there, because I asked this question of Jesse Newell's in studio yesterday. What are you, if you're a Chiefs fan, what should you be hoping for here? Do you think it's in the best interest of the Kansas City Chiefs to sign Orlando Brown to the type of deal that it's going to take for him to put his name on the dotted line?
There's some indifference, but you don't want him to sit out and not play. And that's the real question mark, because he has been franchise tagged. And so he is in control of the Chiefs, but it's only a one-year guaranteed contract that he'll get, a big amount of money, pretty big hit on the salary cap, in the mid, what, 15, 16, 18 million, whatever he would get. And you have till July 15th to sign him to a longer-term contract or a different contract. If you don't do it by July 15th, then all you have available as a Chiefs team is him as a franchise tag guy. And would he possibly sit out and say, I'm not going to do that? You know, but they don't have a lot of options to sign him to a new contract then. So I don't know. It's a very tough decision. I do not think he's a dominant left tackle. But will left tackles cost more 2 years from now than they cost now? And whoever you put him in, whoever you put in for him may not be any better, and you pay more money. So maybe just bite the bullet, pay him on the contract. But I trust that Chiefs completely how to work with the salary cap. But I'm indifferent about Orlando Brown. I've spoken about him a lot. I watched some more tape of him this last weekend. He's better than he was at the beginning of the year.
So can he be better, like overall? Can he be, like you see, he's not a franchise left tackle. Can he take steps towards that? Has he reached his ceiling, in your opinion?
No, I don't think he's reached his ceiling. No, that's just too unfair. He's too young. How long did he play left tackle? Pretty much 1 year. I mean, wasn't he a guard for the Ravens?
Well, he played some left tackle for the Ravens, but playing left tackle for the Ravens is much different than playing for the Chiefs.
Just learning how to work with Patrick Mahomes. I spoke about this a lot last week, that I believe there's a lot more coordination with the offensive line and the quarterback in a passing game than most people would talk about, because I think how the quarterback works in the pocket, how the guys block and what they're good at, what they do as a group of people, where the quarterback likes to be, and all those things matter. And learning that is so invaluable. Now, can he get more repertoire? We talk about the defensive linemen, and we talk about the moves they have. Do you have a move? Do you have a counter move? That's really draft preparation. You know, talk about, look, he got 12 sacks in college. Well, did he? He only has one move. They're going to shut him down in college, in the pros. It really is the same thing with the offensive linemen. We talk about it as a defensive lineman attack mode, but we don't talk about it from the offensive lineman's perspective much. Do they have a repertoire to work with the bigger guys, the faster guys, the outside rush, the inside rush, the spin, all those kind of things? And to me, yes, he can improve, and he needs to, because he's pretty much best at one thing, and that is shoving a guy around the outside and staying attached and letting Patrick Mahomes step up. But it's not the kind of variability that I think he needs to have, and there's no reason why he can't learn it.
We've got Stan Weber in studio back after this on WHB.